You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
The Vietnam War, it's over.
Your job's just begun.
A new HBO original limited series.
Welcome to the world of spycraft.
Strap in.
From executive producers Park Chan-wook and Robert Downey Jr.
What are you concealing?
Based on the Pulitzer Prize-winning novel by Viet Thanh Nguyen.
What if I told you that I was a communist spy?
How did you become this?
The Sympathizer, streaming April 14th on Max. Subscription required.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey gang, thanks for listening to Marriage Therapy Radio with Zach and Laura. Today's episode is kind of a downer, actually. We're talking about divorce, which is really just an inevitable part of any conversation around marriage or marriage therapy. Lately in my practice, I feel like I've had a more than my fair share of couples that are calling it quits. And sometimes that's the right thing. Sometimes it's bailing and it's lazy, but it's always complicated. So stick around.
What's going on?
Oh my gosh.
What's going on?
Good morning.
You said you liked musicals.
I do like
musicals. It's afternoon. Again, it's good afternoon.
Yeah, good afternoon. I do like musicals.
I know you do.
We went to, no, actually I didn't go. But we're going to one next week. Going to see Come From Away.
I've never heard of it.
It's awesome. It's my favorite one. It's about, it's about 9/11 and how when they closed the U.S. airspace after the first planes crashed, they redirected all these planes to Newfoundland because Newfoundland it's like the biggest airport in the world when planes used to need to refuel.
Huh.
And the town of Gander, which is right next to the airport, hosted all these people, like doubled the population for about 11 days. And it's just a story of all these different personalities that were present. But it's a brilliant show,
and it's a musical, because it doesn't sound like one of those things that you would want to sing about.
Well, you're not singing about this tragedy, you're singing about people's response to the tragedy and how they bonded together and you know, demonstrated humanity in one of the most horrible times, you know, in the world, you know, because you had all these planes coming over from international flights, so you had all kinds of people from all kinds of different countries, and then the hospitality that this town showed was just incredible.
Cool.
But the cool thing about it, Come From Away,
and
it's got like, I want to say 9 people play maybe 40 characters. So.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
I was just thinking, as this episode has been brought to you by Come From Away.
I wish.
But that just reminded me of the really fun stuff that I've been working on, is getting the podcast sponsored by different people.
Okay.
And I have come across some really cool products, and the first one being lube.
All right.
So that's coming to an episode near you, is a sponsorship by a lube company. And then also, I'm working on another one, which is just a really cool gift idea for your partner that it does not involve silicone.
Okay.
Or do you call it silicone? Yeah. Or slippery agents.
Yeah.
Anyway, let's get down to what we're talking about. Although, how are you? Are you well?
Yeah, I'm okay. Yeah. I had my endoscopy.
Endoscopy.
It was wild. They just put a camera down my
throat. They went in. Yeah. In the throat.
Yeah.
You got to.
But the fascinating part of it was like, it was kind of like, this lady was like, I want you to have this bite tube on, which will protect your teeth from the camera and the camera from your teeth. And I was like, no problem. And she put it in my mouth. And then I was in the recovery room with Rebecca.
So they knock you completely out.
I literally, like, 40 minutes of my life just got erased. I have no, wow. I have no experience of having the procedure done at all.
You know, I had a strange reaction to whatever chemicals they give mm-hmm. you to knock you out. Yeah. And I had migraines for like a month.
Well,
after that, it was tough.
I did something that they told me I wasn't going to be able to. So they said, you're going to need to take the whole day. You can't drive home. You got to be in bed the rest of the day. I played soccer that night.
I remember you. I told you to stay in bed and your wife did too.
I know. I totally played soccer.
Why?
Because I was feeling great. I felt like totally normal. Scored a goal too.
All right.
I'm not afraid to admit it. I scored the game.
All right.
I scored the game winning goal.
I honestly thought you were going to take a little bit of time and just relax.
No.
But yeah, I remember you saying that Rebecca told you to stay in bed, which you obviously didn't listen to her advice.
Right.
Which is good because you won the game. So that's all that matters, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yep.
Cool. Well, today I wanted to talk about something because I recently was asked to weigh in on a reporter that had contacted me and said, Laura, we would like your advice. It has to do with divorce. And of course, you know, anytime there's a media request, I'm interested in providing my expertise. And the way that the article was written, I didn't necessarily agree with it. And the title of the article, let me see if I can find it, is Five Signs You Need a Divorce. And I just kind of thought that was clickbait. It's brilliant. But it really is more about the article is a little bit more just about allowing people to understand maybe what signs might be that your relationship might be headed towards sort of like relationship demise or that you're in a really hard spot. Mm-hmm. But I am just kind of curious what you thought or what your thoughts are. If there are people that come to you and say, Zach, do you think we should get a divorce? Just, you know, we've met with you for one time. What do you think? You've seen us interact. Mm-hmm. You've heard our story. Do you think we should just call it quits right now? Because I know that there's people that ask me that all the time. They want the answer right then and there.
Yeah, I feel like lately, for some reason, and maybe I'm just not on my game, I've been referring to a couple of divorce attorneys. Like, I don't know, probably six times since the summer started. These people are going to be like, man, what's up? I have two favorites in town. And they've got to be like, man, Zach's in a slump or something. But I feel like I'm facing this a lot because I am pro-marriage for sure. I definitely want people to experience the best version of themselves within their relationship. But sometimes, you know, it's just not possible. And I've been, I don't know, maybe quicker lately to not waste people's time because they do ask, you know, and they go, what do you think? And I think, you know, there's definitely some times when I'm like, I think you got to really face this question. I think you have to really, I think you have to face it as an option because whether they've been meeting with me for a couple weeks or a couple months or even a couple years, if they don't have the motivation to do the work, then I think I'm getting more open to the possibility that maybe they're better off apart than together.
Yeah. You know, as you were talking, I was just thinking about two different types of people, and it could be age. We know that there's some generational differences that come to how soon people throw the towel in or how much they're willing to work on their relationship. But you kind of have these two people where you have some people that start saying the word divorce or they're willing to throw the towel in way too soon. And as a therapist, that's where I find it to be my job to say it's not over till it's over. And it's certainly not over.
Yeah.
You have a lot of things that you need to work on and take some ownership of. And if you improve these things, I guarantee you'll improve the relationship that you have. And then there's the other group where it seems like they're hanging on and they're absolutely miserable. Mm-hmm. And as a therapist, sometimes you do want to say, hey, maybe you're better apart than you are together. I think you're making each other miserable. There's absolutely no friendship left in this relationship.
Yeah,
and
that's the big one for me.
That's probably, that's probably an important piece is, you know, if they're with this article that Fatherly wrote, Five Signs That You Need a Divorce. One of the signs I would say is just an absolute lack of friendship when you don't even like your partner anymore. A lot of people lose love over time. And that's when we get into what we would sort of call roommate syndrome, where people might be friends and they're friendly with one another and cordial, but there isn't a lot of lust and love and romance and passion. But what if there's a relationship where you don't even like your partner most of the time?
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of what I'm looking at right now. I'm thinking of a couple of actual couples that I'm actually working with at the moment. And it's just like, I have to remind them that you don't even like each other. You both think that if I fix...
Money well spent on Zach's therapy. Well, you don't like each other.
They both think that if we fix the other one, then we can fix the relationship. And I'm like, no,
right.
That's not it. You know, there's a whole foundational thing in play here. And I think the other piece too is that for me, it's really sad when people, I think there's something about feeling alive, right? I mean, I think your marriage should not make you feel atrophied or dead or asleep. You ought to feel some kind of energy or life-giving energy that as a result of your relationship. And when people lose that, it's really hard to say resurrect it. And that's another piece where I'll just ask people, I said, what do you believe about resurrection? What do you believe about redemption? Yeah. What do you believe about recovery after rock bottom? Because if they don't have a vision for that, then there's no reason to expect the relationship to turn around.
Yeah. I'm going to just go off on a tangent here for a second, this idea of resurrection or recovery. And I think some of the sort of blessings that you find in relationships is when early on in a relationship, you're able to go through hard things and bounce back from it. And just in life in general, it can be really incredible to teach yourself as a couple that I'm thinking of my husband and I, we went through a year or two of what we call the internship, which essentially is our fond way of remembering when we didn't make any money at all. And we went through our savings accounts and then we short sold our house, sold all of our vehicles that we had, bought a minivan at the age of 25. There was a very humbling experience that it happened. However, I am a fan of minivans. But what we learned is that we can go through hard things. We can encounter things that kind of turn our life upside down a little bit. And we were able to get through it together and believe that. And so we have this mindset that we can go through tough stuff and we can overcome it. So if we were your clients, I would probably say, yeah, we believe in recovery.
Yeah.
We believe in bouncing back because we've gone through it.
Well, I sure do. I mean, that's a big part of Rebecca and I's story too. Just, we had a similar experience of a really traumatic year and we would claim that our relationship is stronger on the other side of that than it was before. I mean, I think, and people just need to have, I always say you have to have two things. You have to have hope and you have to have imagination. And when those two things are gone, then it's really hard to put together a relationship. This is the one you hear, right? Like, why would you stay married? Well, for the kids. And then I always go, you know, I don't buy it. I think what kids need are parents who are friendly and kind and who model secure attachment and who can do conflict and repair. And if those two parents live in the same house, that's amazing. But if they don't, that's better than having two parents who are dead inside, who are constantly bickering, who have no sense of life or responsibility, who idolize their children and really put responsibility for their marriage onto the shoulders of the children. I don't think that's healthy for kids. And again, I'm not advocating for divorce, but I'm certainly not a fan of staying together for the kids.
Right. You know, one of the books that I read this last year, and I've probably said it before on the podcast, that was a bit of a game changer, is it pulled together all of this research from about six different people in different fields. You have a divorce attorney, you have a child therapist, you have a marriage and family therapist, and it essentially says, what happens if you stay together and what happens if you divorce? Like, what are you actually going to be better off making those decisions? And the book is called Should We Try and Work It Out? And the reason why I love it is it pins two different types of couples aside from each other. You have the fiery hot couples that when they argue, it's loud and it's super climactic and it's explosive and hurtful. And then you have the couple that's stony, ice cold, completely lonely, disengage from one another. And then it says, now, how does this affect your children? And how would it affect your children if you stayed together? And how would it affect your children if you broke up?
So they have four basic case studies.
So lots of, well, I mean, it's just, it actually isn't just four basic case studies. It's a whole lot of different scenarios that you go through. and what's the outcome? And it's very interesting because I think if you're sort of standing at that fork in the road saying, should we stay or should we work or should we try and work it out or should we divorce? This book will be a game changer when it comes to looking at your personal situation and saying, okay, this is how I will end up. And it says, you know, women, when you divorce, this is statistically what happens to women. They end up on the poverty line. Men, when you divorce, this is statistically what happens. 50% of your income goes elsewhere. It probably did before, but it'll go there forever, whatever it might be. It looks at your happiness, your quality of life. If you choose to have another relationship, what it, statistically, how soon are you going to have another relationship? What would it look like for a divorce rate at that point? I mean, it's just a fascinating book and I loved it. I thought it was great. I actually give it to a lot of couples to read.
Yeah. I think if you're going to, if you're going to do it, if you're going to divorce, you definitely have to do it deliberately, you know, after some investigation. I think, I really try to sort of set a boundary for my couples, at least in my practice, that they're not allowed to use divorce as part of an argument or in the heat of the moment. If they're going to talk about divorce, they need to do it at the coffee shop or they need to do it over, over a meal that they plan, or they need to do it because they started reading this book together. It's not okay to wield it like a weapon, because that is really just, it's really just cruel, I think, and irresponsible.
Yeah. I was just thinking, what if it oftentimes takes couples a long time to cool off? And I'll tell you, it took my parents 20 years to cool off from their divorce. And what if couples, this is just in my like utopian brain here, had a waiting period. And I know that divorces, by the time you file for divorce in certain states, you have like a 90-minute grace period or whatever.
Yeah,
or
90 days.
Before they actually... 90, what did I
minutes.
Say? 90 year?
No, you said,
90 minutes.
It's like, you're allowed to get divorced in an hour and a half.
That's right. Until your shot of tequila wears off. You can think clearly. 90 days. But what if couples waited like a 2-year amount of time for them to emotionally cool off, become a little more clear-headed, a little more intentional, and begin thinking outside of the saving face? Because at that point, you're wounded and hurt, and you can oftentimes not see further than yourself. All you can be worried about is yourself. And but what if couples waited for 2 years before drawing up documents and becoming more intentional about how what this divorce would look like and how they would divvy up things? Probably not a great idea, but I'm just
know.
Thinking
I think it,
about
well,
a cooling
it,
off
it, to me I'm like my brain is kind of working on that a little bit. It comes back to this idea of maybe separation, right? I'm actually a big fan of separation when there's a plan. I don't like the idea of separation as a step toward divorce, but more like, hey, we need a hard reset, and that means we're just gonna change the rules a little bit. We're gonna have a date night. We're gonna have a really deliberate time with the kids, but not together, or whatever the plan is. And if that's a 90-day or 2-year period, you know, it could be better than the alternative.
This is just a question and I have a theory on this, but I'm sure that there's a research out there that I didn't look at before. But when you separate, oftentimes you see couples in your practice where one partner will use separation as, I think we should separate. Really, in their mind, their brain is already made up. They want a divorce. And they're just using that as, we're going to ease into this divorce situation. We're going to separate. That's just prolonging the inevitable if one person is so pulled out of the relationship. But what you said was, I'm a fan of separation if it's actually in favor of hitting a hard reset where both people are decided that they want the relationship to work for each of them and they want to be in the relationship, but they need to start anew. Mm-hmm. Correct?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's very interesting.
Or they agree that the separation is, you know, a lot of times what I'll do is I'll say, let's call it 90 days. Let's figure out what the conditions are going to be so that when we come back together in 90 days, we're evaluating those conditions in terms of whether or not we want to either move back in together or proceed with a prolonging the separation or divorce. Like, but you got to know what your plan is. It's not just relief from pain.
Right.
It's space to process pain and then be intentional about processing that pain.
Yeah. I totally get that. I've had couples who have asked me, do you think it's a bad idea that we move out? And I've said, absolutely not. I actually had this conversation recently with a friend where I have seen couples who have either moved in too quickly. And I advised a couple that had gotten married that they need to move into two separate places. Just because moving into two separate places doesn't mean that's a change in the relationship. I think that we have this idea of what relationship should look like a man, a woman, one partner each in a household. And you don't, and then there's all these variations as to what that would look like. And so I had said, you guys may never live in the same house at the same time while you're married. And that might just be your construct. That's what you've built for the two of
you. It's actually called, living alone together.
Living alone together.
Yeah, L-A-T.
Really? Yeah. That's a thing. I think I sent my mom an article about this, and she was in the midst of having an argument with her partner about getting a piano in the house, and her partner wouldn't let her get the piano. And my mom said, well, I think we solved the problem. I'll just get my own place. I'll put my piano in my home and we'll just stay married and it'll be great. Oh, man.
Well, I guess the lesson probably when it comes to divorce is that it's complicated. And that sometimes there's more than just yes or no, should we or shouldn't we? I'm a big fan of people living their best life. And if marriage helps you do that, then amen, be married. But if you can't live your best life while you're married, I'm certainly not a fan of wasting years.
Yeah. But I will tell you that my biggest pet peeve, you and I have talked about this before, is when couples come in and they say, we want a divorce. And you say, great, what have you guys done to fix the relationship that you have up until this point? And they're like, well, we really haven't done anything. We've been in pain for 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 years.
Yeah.
That's what I'm not a fan of, is people not trying and just throwing the towel in and just letting this relationship unravel and just continue to unravel without actually fighting for it. It's not going to get any easier just because you're single. You're still going to be that wonderful human being out in the single world with all the other wonderful human beings. There you are. Yeah. I think probably my biggest takeaway is just taking a look at that friendship foundation. Yeah. If it's lost, if it's gone, if it's been gone for a long time, that's a really tough one to resurrect. If you can't even find an element of liking your partner, that's tough.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thanks for chatting with me today.
Yeah. Of course. It's always my pleasure.
You're so full of it. Adios.
Yeah.
Thanks so much for listening to this episode of Marriage Therapy Radio. I want to say thank you so much for the listeners who have emailed me in the last couple of weeks and telling me how you came to find the podcast, that you've been binge listening to all of the episodes, and that you really love what we're talking about. And those of you who have asked questions, we will continue to answer them on air. I wanted to ask if you could go to iTunes and leave us a written review. That helps for others people, not just myself, to know how much you love this podcast. Also, it would help us. But if you could go to Marriage Therapy Radio, there is a tab at the top right-hand corner that says Patreon. Patreon is a way for you to financially be able to support the podcast so that we can continue to follow our mission to reaching out to couples with a little bit of humor, a little bit of information, a little bit of research. You can be a supporter of Marriage Therapy Radio by offering $10 a month to keep the lights on and keep us on the radio. Thanks so much for putting all of your time and energy into making your relationship better today than it was yesterday.